I've been, again, enjoying the book of Psalms. I hope you have 150 of them that we can go through, and there are songs to activate our faith, encourage us, talk to us about the Lord. When you read the book of Psalms, it is a real-life situation, whether it's by David, Moses, Ezra, sons of Asaph, someone, one of the song leaders, write a song about life. It's about life. It's about what they've gone through. And when you read the book of Psalms, you're identifying with and you're going, hey, I too have people left me, betrayed me, people thrown stones at me. You go through the book of Psalms and there's laments, crying out, saying, oh God, my life is just a mess. What can you do about it? God, I need you. I remember what you've done before. And there's also times where there's a psalm that is calling out for God to get involved, get some judgment, do something against all the enemies that are in my life. God, help me out. And how many know these are songs of life? You and I have those songs. Maybe we don't put it to music, but there are lyrics that we put out, and we say, God, I'm having a tough go of things. And so I encouraged you to read the book of Psalms as we make our way through, and let God speak to you. Journal, remember, write, record, do something to let that word touch your heart. Today we're going to go into Psalm 139. Psalm 139, it has a couple passages that we can maybe think of very quickly. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You knew me, my inward parts and the dark places, that's where you formed and fashioned me. And it's a beautiful psalm, but there's more to it than just that passage. And as I look at this psalm, there's a real-life situation that I believe we need to understand. And David writes about in Psalm 139. That is this thing called anxiety, anxious thoughts. When our thoughts all of a sudden get away on us and our emotions just catch up to it, and there's seemingly anxiety, there's anxiousness in us. And I wouldn't ask you to raise your hand, but I believe that there's probably a majority of us sometime in our life or even now we're dealing with anxiety. We have these phases of life. Help us out. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, Paul writes simply about this, and he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And here's basically what he's talking about. He's got these two things. You got this anxious anxiety, but you got peace. And when anxiety creeps in, when anxiety begins to work in our lives, this peace begins to slip out. It begins to leak out. But when peace comes in, anxiety goes out. And it's like you can't have the two dwelling together, anxiety and peace. You need peace. You got to find a way to push that anxiety out so the peace of God can come in. But when there's no peace, it's easy for anxiety to come in. And I believe this psalm pulls much of this together because I realize in my life that the struggle for peace is real. But I also know the battle of anxiety is real. In my life, in people that are close to me, I see it, I understand it. And that David writes about anxiety. He writes about these anxious thoughts in his life. We look in today's world, in our friends and our family, our neighbors, strangers, even ourselves, we hear voices that say, I'm so anxious, or I can't deal with this. There's an anxiety. There's a thought life that's getting caught up and running away, and we can't hold on to things. We're in a culture that is constantly being invaded by this anxiety level. And it's in all ages, all genders. It's making its way down younger and younger all the time, where young people are anxious. We're at a time in our culture where more and more there's not just mental health, but there's dealing with pharmaceutical supplements and other things to try to quench and deal with this anxiety level. We're very medicated in our society, and it's just telling us that we're just bound up. There's anxiousness. We're so, how do we deal with it? And I believe David helps. I'm not here to speak medically. I'm here to say, God, how can you speak into our lives in this realm on a day-to-day basis? What can we do? And David relates out of some life experiences. Psalm 139, verse 19 to 22, David begins to speak about life. This is life. Open up the door, open up, and go and step out of the house of seclusion. And here's life in front of him, and he reflects on it and begins to call to God about it. And he says, oh, that you, God, would slay the wicked. This is, man, it's bad out there. God, get rid of them all. God, do something. Slay all the wicked. And then he goes, depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men. He says, separate from me. My life is just filled with bloodthirsty men. I've had enough. Get out of here. For they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord? Can you just sense inside of him this life that's in front of him? He says, man, I've had enough. It's done. Get rid of them. God, they're ungodly, bloodthirsty. They're anti-you. Do not I loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. He's spending all this time and energy, and he's looking at life, and he says, God, my life would be so much better if you just got rid of them all. Get rid of all the circumstances that are fighting against me, that are speaking against you, and my life would just be full of peace. I wouldn't have any problems in life. Life would be so much better. God, get rid of this. God, it's all out there. All of a sudden, it's like something clicks, and there's a shift. Because now he goes from what's out there. He says, well, I guess it's really about what's in here. And he makes a shift from outside to inside. And he stops complaining about the external forces that are ungodly and harsh and negative and the stresses of life. And he shifts to the inside and he says, hold it. It's not about the enemies. It's about the inner me. It's not about the enemies that I think that are all enemies against me and how bad it all is out there. It's about something about on the inner me. And that's where we need to look. And he shifts and he says in verse 23, oh, search me, oh God, me. It's not about the economy. It's not about the politicians. It's not about my family, my finances. It's not about my teenagers and how I'm trying to deal with them and it's just all getting away on me and I don't know what to do. Help me, God. He says, no, hold it now. It's not about that. It's about me, what's on the inside. It's about my heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. It's not what's going on out there. It's about me and my heart. That's where the problem lies. If I can get a hold of my heart and what's on the inside, things can maybe be a little better. God, it is bad. It's corrupt. It's ungodly. But God, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my anxieties. God, my anxieties, I need you to know them. I need you to be aware of what's going on in the inside of me. And I believe it's understanding that nothing out there will change until I do. It's not about what's going on out there that's important. It's what's going on in the inside of us. And David realizes that the shift has to happen. Know my anxieties. Know my disquieting thoughts. I don't know about you, but there are times my mind goes racing on about so many things, so many people, so many circumstances that I've already fought a battle in my mind before I've even stepped out the door. I've warred. I've battled. These disquieting thoughts have just zapped me of energy. And I think what it is we have to understand it's not what's going around us that's creating the anxiety. It's how we respond to what's going around us that creates the anxiety. And if we could get a handle on what's going on the inside of us, then what's on the outside wouldn't have the same effect on us. And David realizes to be this king that he's called to be and fulfill his purposes of life, he's got to get the right shift. My thoughts affect my anxiety level, not my circumstances. David says in verse 24, and see if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. He's saying, see if there's any wicked way. That means offensive way, something contrary to your way. And how many know that when we're not doing it God's way and we're doing it our way, that's when anxiety happens? When all of a sudden we're doing it contrary to the ways God wants things done, we're trying to do it in our own strength, in our own way, in our own wisdom, in our own attitude, it's about us, all of a sudden we lose control. We don't have the success we need, and all of a sudden we start thinking wrong about something. We begin to have a wrong attitude. We begin to think about something. And if you think about something long enough the wrong way, it becomes your default way of thinking. If you're always thinking about the circumstances around you, how bad it is and how negative it is and how that political group is this way, and all of a sudden your thoughts are running against maybe your husband or your spouse or your children a certain way, and it's running long enough, pretty soon that's the default way of thinking. So if something small comes up, all of a sudden it's that negative, it's that bad, it's that uncontrollable. And it's our thinking that affects our heart, that affects how the circumstances affect us. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 25, Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more than food, and your body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. Do they not sow or reap or store away in barns? Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you worry by adding a single hour to your life? Don't worry. Don't be anxious, he says, about what's going on. Look, consider, think. Put in right perspective. Are you not more valuable than all these that God looks after? Stop putting your eyes on what you see and put it on what you know who God is. Let your mind be filled with the truth instead of the circumstances. So I'm going to give you three questions. And the first question about this situation in your life is, what's your intake? When there's anxiety happening, ask yourself, what's my intake? What's going on and coming into my life? Because what comes into your life affects the circumstances around you. What's your intake? A little play on words, but your intake is affected or affects what your take is on a situation. And you put this in the natural. My diet will affect my health, which will affect my well-being and my purposes. What I pull into my life will affect me. What I pull in and what I don't pull in. And I believe it's so important that you and I realize it's just not what we hold off, but it's also what we pull in. We can be on a starvation diet, spiritual starvation diet, not know about it. We think, oh, I'm doing so good. Look, I'm not doing this, not doing that, not doing this. God says, don't do this. I'm not doing any of that. But what are you pulling into your life? And it's the balance of not just what we bring in, it's what we don't pull in. And I think when it comes to our spirit life, we have to ask ourselves, what's our intake? What are we pulling in of God's resources, of God's word, of God's spirit, of worship? What are we pulling in? If by chance the last scripture you read was what was Sunday morning on the screen, your intake could be weak when it comes to the things of God. If you're not taking in regularly the word of God, the worship of God, what are you doing? You're starving your spirit. You won't be as strong as you need to be. So you don't just cut out the bad things. You've got to put in the right things. If you want to be an athlete that wants to become stronger and faster, you want to be all in good shape and buff and all those kind of things, well, guess what? You can't live your life on poutine and milkshakes. As perfect of a food group those are. So you don't just not have those things, but you also have to put in the balance of carbs and proteins and vitamins and all the right things so that you can properly build your muscle capacity and your speed. You can do it right. I love this picture. You can't overwork and become better at your exercise, out-exercise a bad diet. It's just not going to work. And the truth is, spiritually, you can't make up with that poor diet by thinking, I'll just show up on Sundays and I'll just worship like nobody's business and everything. But then 6 days a week, I do nothing. I'll feed on other things. No, we've got to have the balance in our lives when it comes to knowing these things. The truth is, you can't out-train a bad diet. You can't compensate by harder work if you don't have the right things in your life. And here's for you and I in our day-to-day life. What are we watching? What are we listening to? What are we feeding in our life? Because what we tend to do is we tend to let the enemy in. Negative, sorrowful, you know, all this stuff in our mind. And then we pray and say, God, would you take it away? And then all of a sudden we give ourselves into the cycle of giving ourselves to the wrong things. And then we say, God, can you compensate? Can you overdo this? Can you make things right? God, take away my bad attitude. Take away my bad, when I'm feeding the bad attitude. No, but God, you take it away. And it's like we get ourselves in a cycle that all of a sudden we're wanting God to change our thoughts, but we keep feeding our thoughts the wrong way. And we're wondering why this conflict of thought life and emotions and things, but we're saying, well, God, why can't you rid me of it? And he says, well, because you keep feeding it. And we hope that God's going to put peace in when we don't make any room for it. We say, God, how can I live like this? And God says, well, change. Do something different. Watch what you're doing. And we need to say, God, have a look inside. Search me, God. Search me. I'm not going to complain about that until, God, you search me. What's my intake? God, what's going on in my life? What am I need to change in my schedule, my diet, my activities of life? Maybe even the people that I'm associating with. Because your group of relationship could actually be sucking the life out of you instead of putting life into you. And after a certain period of time, when it happens day after day and it's negative and it's all anxiety and it's all worry and it's all how bad this is going to be and they're just putting you down, they're speaking bad about you, after a while, there's nothing left. And sometimes we have to pull away from the people that are in our lives because we need to build ourselves up and be encouraged. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." You'll keep him in perfect peace. Perfect peace. What's perfect peace? In the Hebrew, the original language, it's peace, peace. It is such perfect peace that you say it twice. It's like you'll give him peace, peace. It's perfect peace. It's double. Whatever you're thinking of as the peace of God, double it. It's perfect peace. When your mind is stayed on you, it's stayed, it's nailed, it's driven down. A stake is driven in the ground. My mind is on the Lord. And that's what happens when God puts his word in our lives and we open up. We need to be God's people that build our faith with the things of God. Search me, O God. When it comes to anxious thoughts, it's important about our intake. But let me give you the next question. Is there imbalance in your life? What's your intake? Because your intake will affect your balance. Is there imbalance in your life? If you are saying yes to everybody in your life, and their priorities are setting your agenda, and that you're doing everything to help them fulfill their goals, but you're never fulfilling your goals, pretty soon you're going to be so pulled thin. You'll be such anxiety in you because you're never accomplishing what God called you to do. Is there imbalance in your life? If you are saying yes to everybody, then really the reality is you don't know your priorities. You don't know what you're called to do. You don't know what's important to you. Because all of a sudden, everybody else has more value than what God's put in your life. What is of value to me? What is God calling me to do? What is important to me? Who's important to me? By saying yes to everybody, you're letting their demands rule your life. Why is this important? Important to understand this imbalance, because if you're giving value to people that shouldn't have value, what's happening then is the things that God's called you to do don't matter. Instead, the things they're telling you to do matter. Who has the value in your life that God has placed in you that add value to you? You need to know those people. And the reason is because when people that shouldn't have value in your life say, "Hey, I don't like what you're doing. I don't like what you're wearing. I don't like the way you look. I don't like the way you talk." And they're all of a sudden negative, and all of a sudden they're putting you down, and all of a sudden they're tearing strips out of your life. But they don't have value, but you've given them value. All of a sudden, they're going to affect you when they shouldn't be affecting you. And what happens is we get anxious then and trying to please the people that we shouldn't be trying to please because they really don't have value in your life. People on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, people that are outside your scope of really life, then all of a sudden you've given them power over you to speak into your life when they really don't have value. But you're living your life according to them instead of what God says. I believe it's so important that we know who truly have value in our life. Who is it that God's given you in your life to speak into you? The others. The others. I love this phrase. Three words with a conjunction. So it's really four, but it's three. And it's simply this. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That when people say something to you, but they don't have value, you can say, "It doesn't matter." When you truly understand your call, your priority, what God's called you to do, when somebody else says, "Well, you shouldn't be doing that," it doesn't matter. "Well, no, you know, I'm not too sure about the way you act or talk or what you're doing, and I don't like this about you," and you put the value scale, it doesn't matter. And all of a sudden, the anxiety in our life is going out because it really doesn't matter. But we got all this pressure on us to conform, to be like, that we show up like, that we talk up, that we look like, that we conform. And the anxiety level that is in our lives today for conformity is huge. When we need to be able to say, "It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I am who I am. We sang it today. I am who I am. God, you may be who I am. I believe who you say I am, not what other people say I am. I believe with imbalance. When Christ, who's a solid rock, and when we have Scripture in us, when we have the Bible in us, when we know who God called us to be, we can get into a position of balance. When somebody goes to push you off with a negative, it doesn't move you. When all of a sudden somebody calls you to do something they want you to do, but you know God hasn't called you to do, you can say it doesn't matter. You stay firm. When all of a sudden you're going your pathway of righteousness and godliness, and people say, well, why don't you do what we do? Because everybody else is doing it. No, you can stand firm. You say, it doesn't matter. We have the proper balance in our life. Anxiety, as it's happening, ask yourself, is there imbalance? Have I given somebody value in my life, power in my life, to speak into my life that shouldn't have? We don't let the circumstances and what people say contaminate our spirit. Because how often do we lie awake wondering what somebody else is thinking? And anxiety builds up. What demands people are putting on us that aren't of God, our anxiety builds up. Search me, God. Open up my heart. What's my intake? Not only what's my intake, is there imbalance in my life? Because if there's not proper intake, if you don't have faith, if you're not on God's word, you're not singing and worshiping and believing and praying, there's not the proper intake, there won't be the proper balance. You've given value because the Scriptures haven't judged. The ways of God haven't given you understanding. You're not delineating your life according to the ways of God. All of a sudden, there's imbalance. And if there's wrong intake and wrong imbalance, you will live a life of indecision. You will not be able to make the decisions you need to make. And when I talk to people and they're talking about their anxiety level, ultimately it comes down, I just don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what the decision to make. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to make a plan. Anxiety has overtaken them to the place where they don't have the right intake. They got imbalance, and now they don't know what decision to make. Should I go here? Should I do this? Should this happen? I don't know how to make a decision, because what if this happens? Relationship, finances, job? Do I stay? Do I go? What do I do? Anxiety has taken hold that they can't make a decision. And God says, I want you to be so strong on the inside that you're not only able to say it doesn't matter, you're able to say, I choose. And we have confidence, because anxiety hasn't torn apart that strength in us. We've got strength in us. We've got word in us. We've got belief in us. We've got confidence in us. We've got faith in us that we can make decisions. That anxiety doesn't zap out of us that willingness to say, I'll take a risk, I'll do it, and I'm confident in it. We need to be a people that though that thought life doesn't get a hold of us. It doesn't mean anxiety doesn't come. Anxiousness. It means it doesn't get a hold of you. It means it doesn't bore itself into you. It doesn't make its way into you. You can deal with it when it comes. Every one of us becomes anxious about something, about a decision, but it's like, no, I'm not going to let anxiety determine my pathway. I'm going to let God lead me through this. And this psalm hits hard in my life. I can tell you right now, when I'm anxious, and my sleep doesn't happen, and I'm worrying, and my body is dealing with stuff, I know I need to go back first to the Word. Get myself into the Word of God. Begin to pour into the Word. Get a new intake. I know that I need to be one that checks my balance. Who have I been listening to? Who have I given value to? Who am I succumbing and giving them power over my life that shouldn't have it? And then all of a sudden I realize, okay, I need to make a decision here. And I make that decision. All of a sudden I can go through it. This psalm gives us, I believe, three thoughts, three knowings that we need to have in our lives that will help us with this anxiety. Three knowings. Number one, it's that God is all-knowing. Do you know that God's all-knowing? Verses 1 through 6. God is all-knowing. He doesn't know just some things in your life, just a little bit about you. He is all-knowing about your circumstances, situation. You don't have to go to God and say, God, you don't know how bad it is at work. And he goes, oh, really? No, you really don't know what this guy's been doing to me. Really? Like, you know, God sees it all. God knows it all. Verse 1 says, oh, Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, and behold, Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high, I cannot contain it. If you have figured out God, you have not known God. God is unknowing. You can't comprehend him. It's too difficult for our finite temporal minds. But God is all-knowing. It says, number one, he searches me. Today, you want to find out about somebody, what do? You Google them, right? Put their name in the search. Check them out. You'll find out something about them. Get onto Pinterest and find out what they pinned. You'll find out a little bit about them. You get on LinkedIn. You go through all these different ways to try to connect something about the people, right? God doesn't just Google you. He knows you. He doesn't have limited knowledge about you. He knows everything about you. God knows you're sitting down, you're rising up. He knows when you're lazy and when you're not lazy, when you're going after things. God sees it all. God knows the words. God searches. He understands everything. He knows my ways. He doesn't just stalk us. He watches over us. I love this. He says he's acquainted with my ways. If you've ever lived with somebody, you learn about them a lot more than if you didn't live with them. You learn their idiosyncrasies. You learn their habits. You learn little things they do that, why do they do that? But you know, you got a level of knowing them that nobody else has. Your spouse, your children. People go, oh, your kids are so awesome. They're just incredible. I love having your kids around. Really, take them. Because if you knew them like I knew them. But God says, I'm acquainted with your ways like nobody else knows. And I'm still with you. I know everything about you. Then he goes on, he says, you know my ways. He says, you know me relationally. He touches me when I need comfort. He protects me. He puts a hedge around me. He knows my weaknesses. He knows that I have trepidation on this and that. And God says, let me help you with it. He says, I know your weaknesses. I know your inabilities. I know what you can't do, and I'm there for you. God knows us relationship, even when we think we blow it. God's there with us. Secondly, he's not just all-knowing. God is all-present. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee? How can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. Your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely darkness shall fall upon me. Even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you. But the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. How often do we become anxious because maybe we don't have something we think we need to have, or somebody tells us we think we have, we're coming up short, we don't have what they have, we compare ourselves, and God comes along, and he says, I've got what you have need of. I've got more than enough for you. I've got everything that you have need of. Come to me. The remedy is knowing that God will never leave us nor forsake us, and he has everything we have need of. And wherever we go, God is there. High, low. Man, if you're far east, far west, if you're struggling up, if you're being blessed in some other area, God knows, God's there. God's in every circumstance and situation of your life. He's ever present. His hand leads us. His right hand upholds us. What room is there for anxious thought when you know that the all-knowing God is with you right now? You can't escape him if you've tried. Right now, if you're walking with the Lord, that is comforting. If you're running from the Lord, that should be convicting. Because you can't outrun him. You can't hide from him. God says, I love you too much to let you go on your own. I will be wherever you are. I'll be there. I'll help you. I'll work in your life. Thirdly, God is all-powerful. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they are all written, the days fashioned for me. When as yet there were none of them, how precious are also your thoughts to me, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than sand. When I wake, I'm still with you. What's more powerful than if every day you woke up and you just said, you created this? No, seriously, God, you made this. I didn't come off an assembly line. God is an artisan that he carefully and fearfully makes every one of us distinct, unique. Then he puts his signature of his spirit on us. He says, you're mine. God made us. Who we are, our personality, our identity, our thought life, our hair or lack thereof, whatever, our being. God, you made this. And you did it deliberately. Ephesians 2:10 says we are God's workmanship. It's a craftsmanship. It's a masterpiece. We're his piece of work. God made us. And we just stand back and say, God, you made me. You're all powerful. I can't believe you did this. The life that God gives us has his penmanship on it. He writes it out. He writes a book. And pages are unfolding. God says, I've got purpose and plans for you. That's how powerful I am. I've got a life for you. And his thoughts towards us, they're always good. God never has a bad day. He goes, man, I just can't handle these people today. Jesus, you're up. I'm taking the day off. Spa day. That's it. They're yours. No, God says, no, I love them all the time, constantly, continually. My thoughts are always good. Even when they fail, he says, come on, get up. I got something better for you. Come on, we can do it. God's there constantly cheering us on. And when you know these three things every day, that God knows me, he's all knowing, he's all present, he's all powerful, you give little room for that anxiety to make its way in your life. But let me just give you this. End of the book. We read it already. Let me give you these four things. Here's what you can do in a practical way. Practical. Every day. Just do this. Four things to give to God in verse 23 and 4. Number one, let God search me. Be vulnerable. Say, God, search me. Today, God, I got some anxiety happening. I want you to search me. Search me. Do I have the wrong intake? Do I have some imbalance? Is there some indecision? What's going on in my life? God, I want you to reveal it to me now. Are my thinking thought offensive? Is it flawed? Because breakthrough happens through humility. The way up starts with the way down. We say, God, search me. Number two, let God test me. Ouch. Test me, God. Check it out. Check the integrity. Check the strength. Check it out, God. Go and put a little finger on it. Put some thumb on it. God, you press down on it. You test it. God, you test to see what's going on in my life. Suffering, difficulty, struggles of life are the testings where God is checking us out. Do we still have faith when we go through it? Can we still praise God? Can we still worship God? Can we still, through suffering and difficulties of life, let it be like a furnace of fire that purifies our worship to God? Say, God, I'll worship you no matter what. Number three, God sees me. Let God see me. God, examine me. And here's where we get open. Is there any sin? Is there any idolatry? Is there any life into this realm? And then I'm saying, God, take it out. I keep putting my life into this realm, and I say, God, take it out. My thought life, my heart is going over to something else, and it's wrong, but God, I keep going there. God, would you take it out? And we need to break the cycle. Lastly, let God lead me. Where we say, God, you lead me. I took ballroom dancing twice. Not because I failed the first time, because I liked it so much. That's not true. I liked my partner so much. That was my wife. Took ballroom dancing, and as we took it, one of the things of ballroom dancing, there has to be one who leads and one who follows. It's amazing when two try to lead, it don't work too well. And even if the other partner seems to be better than the first, if the guy is not leading properly, but even if he's leading properly, the other person's got to follow properly. And I think that in the dance of life, God has to lead. God has to be the one that leads us. We mess it up, and anxiety begins to take hold of our lives when we do the leading. And all of a sudden, our feet stumble and get a little bruised, a little hurt, a little difficulty of life, and we start not liking life too much because it's not as much fun. We watch everybody else. Look at them. They're having so much fun. How come they're having so much fun? I hate this thing. Let him lead. And it just goes a lot better. Amen. Father, there's not probably one of us that doesn't deal with anxiety. Right now, God, there's people that are saying, Pastor, you don't know what I go through. And I'll be honest, I don't. But God, you do. David did. God, to those that are struggling with anxiety today, I pray in the name of Jesus, you would break it. God, you would give them ways and means, oh Lord, that on a daily aspect of life that they can protect themselves, that they can guard themselves, they can walk in victory day in and day out, oh God, where anxiety comes in and will not hold on to them. Father, I pray for those of us, Lord, that deal with anxiety and anxious thoughts, Lord, let the peace of God come in. But we got to make room for it. So God, I pray right now that your Spirit would come and search us, try us, test us, and make room for the peace of God to come in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't we stand here in worship team? We're going to close with that I'm Not Shaken, that you led the second song. I believe it's a song of confession. You might go, sometimes we sing a song and go, well, that's not how I feel. Probably not, but that's why we're singing it. We're trying to line up our life with the ways of God. Because if we only sing when we feel like it, most of us won't be doing much singing. We sing because the God says, in your singing and worship, I can speak into your life. Well, I'm doing all the talking, God. Yeah, but my spirit is doing all the speaking in your spirit. And we allow God to speak into us. So as we sing this song, make it a confession. Take hold of these things that God has laid out for us in Psalm 139. Read it through the week. Pray it out.